We were a few minutes picking up Cedric, but we've got him back again. Cedric, when I picked up the phone before after making the weather announcements, there was just a high-pitched sound on the end. Is everything all right over there?
Hello there, and Aaron, yes, and good morning to Raven, flying all to Whenua. We just finished clearing a air raid alert, and what that means is the electronic warfare here within the city kicks in and will disrupt communications across the board. So my line was kicked out due to that occurring, but the threat's now over. The missile's been shot down in the Whiskey region, which is, I believe, north of the capital. And yeah, we're back to the normal business of operations here.
Okay, so you're in Kiev at the moment?
That's correct. I'm in the capital, Kiev, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. So we wanted to talk to Cedric today. We've spoken to him a couple of times. Cedric Waitere is obviously from Whangaroa. Most of you, I'm sure, know that. And he's over doing aid work, I think, at the moment, Cedric. But you've also got a plan for... why don't you tell us what your plan is to do with counselling for people who are suffering from trauma from the war, I guess.
Okay, so just to bring everyone up on speed.
Let's do that.
Yep. A discussion with a serving member of the Ukraine Armed Forces, a volunteer from Scotland. It's come to mind that we need to set up an online system to provide counselling services for both soldiers and aid workers here and all manner of volunteers across Ukraine. Due to the fact that the experience of the PTSD and the trauma of wars and the horrors that both sides of the civilian and military scale have seen are just incomparable. Well, maybe a modern version of World War One, World War Two horrors, so to speak. But the mental health of civilian and military operators here need to be addressed immediately. There are people committing suicide within volunteer networks. As soon as they come off the battlefield. Recently we had one last weekend occur with a voluntary soldier. Very sad, very heartening to say the least, and it really is the whole team around who he served with, including the people that recruited him. So this needs to be addressed, and we're trying to set up an online system there where the soldiers and volunteers can ring in through WhatsApp signals and speak with counsellors from their nations, that be France, Britain, UK, Germany, America, New Zealand and Australia. We want to be able to provide that service free of charge by setting up a group of volunteers from around the world who can provide this particular service a couple of hours a day, handful of people from per country, and we should be able to begin addressing these mental health and the PTSD that all these volunteers are experiencing on a daily basis.
So, Cedric, the line's not perfectly clear at the moment. So you said this is an online service?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So through signals and WhatsApp being the most two common forms of communication used here.
Okay, yeah.
There is Kyivstar, but that's a local Ukrainian one and would not be compatible across the other services. But WhatsApp and Signals is the most common networks used by all volunteers here.
Yeah, and so you're talking about, so you're looking for counsellors, like for instance, if there's someone listening who is a counsellor with spare time or a retired counsellor, is that the sort of person you're looking for?
Yes, people that are qualified to begin with. I was particularly targeting the retired counsellors that are around New Zealand, that would want to share a few hours of their day, being that they may not be fully employed and may be able to give a few hours a day. But even if you are an employed counsellor, that will do just as well, so long as they are actually experienced counsellors. Preferably be ones that have dealt with traumatic events, whether it be war or anything else. But veteran associations, previous experienced veterans from these types of theatres, so long as they're qualified to provide that kind of professional help, yeah.
Okay, and you're talking about gathering together people from obviously English-speaking countries. So is this for, it must be, it obviously can only be for people who speak English. Do many people in Ukraine speak English?
Very few.
Very few.
Yeah, and the ones that do is what they call so-so. They have a good so-so. That means they know just a tiny little bit.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, but there's lots of people like you, I guess, who've come from overseas who are doing aid work and what have you over there.
Yes, the majority do, yes, speak English, including all those throughout Europe. Majority of them do come through the Foreign Legion on the soldier's side, and then the rest of them are already English-speaking Europeans and whatnot from, throughout the main countries like France and Germany and that. And yes, the majority, as I say, do speak English.
Yeah, so, okay, so, and how's things going with this project for you at the moment?
Okay, so I've rounded up 3-4 guys from America. I haven't been able to find anyone to cover Germany and or France just yet, but got a hot contacts for the France end. Haven't got any volunteers yet from New Zealand side. And once I speak to a counterpart in Australia, I believe I'll be able to drum up at least half a dozen from Australia to cover the
Yeah. Okay. Your voice is breaking.
No. Help is it from New Zealand? Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll do this interview and we'll put it out there. We'll put it on our social media as well, so it gets out a bit further than just Whangaroa.
Yes, please. Yeah. There's absolutely nothing in the world that exists like this at the moment, and this is quite a unique being created. So if those volunteers out there, they put themselves forward in New Zealand, you don't have to go anywhere. Just be available. Give some time. You'll be creating part of a history and network of this particular counselling services, because I cannot find anywhere online that will provide a free service as such. Mm. And the only ones I can find will only offer the very first phone call as their one free time.
Yeah.
And then that's no use to anyone here in Ukraine. Absolutely not for volunteers.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's
like the volunteers that are here, we commit everything that we've sacrificed so much to be here to help these folk of Ukraine. And this is the same thing I'm asking for within the counselling volunteers. If they don't mind Saturday afternoon sitting there on the deck of their, looking out over the ocean and whatnot, and providing those hours without actually having to come to theatre here. In the same capacity as the volunteers that do here, no one gets paid here. No one's given a wage or anything like that. We do it out of the goodness and the kindness of our hearts and the generosity, especially for us Kiwis, that we continue to show to the Ukrainians here and their people.
Mm. So, and how are you doing? Because last time we talked to you, that was obviously an issue for you. You're there, you're not earning money, you're doing aid work, volunteer work. So how are things for you at the moment?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm in pretty good spirits. Currently have a fundraiser going. I know the folks, a lot of friends and family would have seen the broadcast on TV1NZ just the other night. And as a response from that, it's since generated over the last 3 days, $900 New Zealand. We're trying to get to the total figure of $1,500. And the fundraiser is to acquire and purchase food and hygiene products to be distributed through an undisclosed location inside the red zone of Kherson City. And that goes out to all the majority of elderly folk that will turn up at the store here. And I'll be distributing that next weekend, this weekend coming up, between Saturday and Sunday all the way to Wednesday when I will depart from Kherson and return back to Kiev. So that's current mission running at the moment. And, we've generated 900. That's a response from New Zealand thus far. And I'm very proud and happy that we've got the ball rolling. Just got a little bit further to go, though, in New Zealand, to get us up to $1,500.
Okay.
Now, what that equates to in Ukrainian money is 40,000 per hryvnia. And that will buy us a very big van load of aid to distribute to the folks and the residents of Kherson City. Just quickly take the opportunity to thank top of my head, folks like Anushka Sweetman, a former school friend of mine and relation for Nona, plus the good Doc Peter Wurst, Rupia whānau, Waitere whānau, the Kut whānau, and just trying to know off the top of my head, and all those others that have donated over the last 3 days.
What was that last name you gave? There was just a noise in the background that blocked it.
Manaiakrip.
Okay.
A niece of mine.
Right, okay, cool.
Yeah, so the Crib whānau, the Waitere whānau, Rupia whānau, the Sweetman whānau. There's a few others. Yuri Gladwin of the Ukrainian Waikato Association in Hamilton there. The good doctor, I forget. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head.
That's all right, that's all right.
My thanks. And respect to all those that have donated thus far. It's really going to go a very, very long way in terms of supporting the lives and the living of those basically living without power or incremental power and in some of the worst conditions ever, whilst being constantly bombed and experiencing what drones are like.
And you and this trip is going to take you. Is it going to take you a lot closer to the front line?
Between me and New Zealand, I'll be approximately half a kilometre at least away from the Russians' positions, actual positions, where they dug in on the opposite side of the Dnipro River.
Yeah.
So separating Kherson City is the Dnipro River, and the Russians are on the exact opposite side of it, where they constantly send artillery fire, missiles, being tall systems or multiple launch rocket systems, and have now stepped up a campaign of continuous drone attacks on the civilian population.
So are people
all that?
Cedric, are people moving away from? Therefore, are they moving away from the villages and towns that are close to the river?
Well, since Ukraine liberated it last year, many folk have actually moved back. It's a hard thing for the locals to leave their residence. They do find it the most distressing thing in their life to have to actually leave.
Yeah.
Many have returned to the city in quite large numbers, and they continue to live on in their homes that were previously occupied by the Russian forces up until that point of liberation last year. So they return, and they can't find it very difficult to leave. Many times they're asked to leave. We can continuously. And they will not want to leave their homes. It's just how much they feel attachment to their properties, their life. I mean, it's their life. They've built these things, they've built their homes, and they've lived there for a lifetime. And, yeah, it's the most difficult thing to any Ukrainian to leave their home and go to the evacuated zones.
Yeah. And what about for you? Like, I know that winter is coming, and I've heard that winter and the Ukraine can be pretty blooming cold. Are you prepared? Like prepared? You know, warm? You're going to be warm enough through that? You got all the stuff you need?
Oh, I'm not fully prepared for this winter. I caught the end of winter last year when I arrived in Ukraine in March, and I was just going into spring then, and it was still snowing and it was still freezing out, and it's a different cold. It's way, way colder. Depending on the regions you are in inside Ukraine, you can experience anything an average of minus 15 degrees to minus 30 plus degrees. So those kind of temperatures you don't even go outside in. Depending where you are, of course, during the wintertime, you can't go and take a leak or it'll freeze up instantly out there. I'll admit I'm underprepared for the winter that's coming. And again, I'll be looking forward to funding campaigns to help assist me in that department there and getting the correct warm gear and the correct sleeping gear for that type of weather. Because knowing what the Russians are trying to do and what they are doing at the moment is knocking out the power infrastructure across Ukraine, which has already destroyed 80% of the country's total power production.
Yeah, well, I had heard that. That's why I was asking about how prepared you are for the winter, because it does sound like it's not going to be very enjoyable at all.
so be prepared, whānau. I'll be putting out a couple more campaigns here to prepare for this coming winter, and it generally gets worse every year, year on, year out. I'm looking for some more fundraising for that. And so, just looking at a solid sleeping bag and some good socks, or perhaps people could send me some of these things, some of these items, warm clothing, gloves, beanie, ear mittens, and all that sort of good stuff for a very solid cold winter.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Cedric, we didn't talk about, when you were talking about this counselling service you're trying to get started, and also your own situation, how can people get in touch with you about that?
Okay, best way to get hold of me, I've now got three forms of communication open. One is through Facebook, the other one is WhatsApp, and the third one would be Instagram. But yeah. I prefer, or Signals, sorry.
Or Signal.
So
yeah.
Signals and or WhatsApp is ideally the best way. Or you can text me up through my email, cedric.ytd@gmail.com. I'll instantly reply to you guys, unless I'm under threat or danger. Then you won't see responses from me until it's clear. But generally, I can reply within minutes of anyone trying to make contact to me. My contact number here, the New Zealand contact number, is plus 2177. 821 08770.
So 021, sorry, just go through that again, Cedric. 021.
Sorry, so plus 64, drop the zero, and it'll be followed by 21.
Yep.
08.
Yeah.
Plus 64 2108772520, and that's my New Zealand card, and you can reach me on that line directly. That's also connected to my Signals and WhatsApp.
Okay, all right. So we'll write some of that down as well, because we'll do a write up on this. So if you want to,
you can contact me through my email.
Okay, but those other ones were like Cedric Whiteries, just Instagram and WhatsApp. People can just find you straight there with that name.
Yes. That's the best form. I prefer WhatsApp because it allows me to send the biggest amount of information, like videos and pictures and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, all right. So if people want to help out with the counselling project, or they just want to help you out because that's still, I'm sure, fairly urgent need, they can get in touch with you with that variety of ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Cedric, that's cool. Did we cover everything we were going to talk about there? Was there anything left over?
I believe so. If I can just put the seriousness back into this, that where I'm going next week is going to be my most dangerous mission yet on record. I have been into Hirsangasuk before, and I have been into what they designate as the red zone, so it didn't direct line in view of the Russians. They've stepped up their game near the Russians in terms of what they're targeting and with what. So, yeah, artillery and that aside, it's turning into a real drone warfare strategy that the Russians are employing, and they have an endless amount of drones to send into the city and hunt the civilian population down on a daily basis, hourly, in fact. It is that bad. On top of all the artillery fire and sniper and whatnot, the worst enemy to the locals of Kherson City is actually the drones now, with a sustained, consistent campaign coming from the Russians.
Mm. So we'll
target anyone on the street.
Yeah, well, Cedric,
wherever you are, no matter what you do. Yeah.
Wish you the best of luck then for that journey, and hope you get back safe and sound. And especially too, good luck with the counselling project. It's like an awesome project you're trying to get off the ground there.